listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hey everyone, Ed McGrogan and Steve Tignor here with the latest Tennis.com podcast. We wanted to get a quick one in before the weekend. Obviously a quick turnaround between the end of the round robin stage of the WTA Finals in Singapore and when the semifinals start up on Saturday. And before we get into those semis, Steve, just maybe a quick word on the dearly departed. You know, obviously the big surprise of that, of the four who didn't advance, is Simona Halep, who didn't really look herself for much of this week. I think it's pretty safe to say from an overseas perspective.
Yeah, I think you know, we came into this tournament, she was the top seed. She's rarely, you know, the top seed at a big tournament. Maybe the first time she's been in that position with Serena not being there. And it seemed like she, you know, she had done well here last year. She must have had expectations that she could win this tournament. She had been hurt a little before this and hadn't really, maybe wasn't in the best shape, but and that sort of, that proved to be a problem in the last match. She looked really tired against Radwanska, but also she looked a little tight, you know, a little bit, you know, she's been known to, she sort of goes back and forth between, you know, working hard to fight through bad parts of matches, and then sometimes she just seems to give in to them. You know, she started out the year doing that, then she seems to go up and down in that sense, and she's always sort of fighting her emotions and negativity that she can get. She, you know, she has this kind of, I would say, a perfectionist attitude, and if she makes mistakes, she takes it pretty hard and lets it bother her, and, you know, lets one game turn into two games lost and a set lost. And that's so that, you know, that feels like that's what happened to her here. Some of the same issues with her, you know, mentally, and also it just shows that at a big tournament, you know, the bigger hitters, a bigger hitter like Sharapova is going to have an advantage when, you know, when the stakes are really high. The player that can kind of take it, things into their own hands, as we've seen at the Slams for a long time on the women's side, is going to have an advantage, and that's still true, and that's something Halep's going to always have to fight against.
Yeah, and Halep is going to get, I think, quite a bit of flack for this year overall when, you know, eventually we're going to be, you know, looking back really on the 12 months as a whole and to see where she came up short. Like you said, it's the places where so many are expecting her to break through at the Slams, at a big event like this. And compared to previous years, you know, I think a lot of people will say that despite her finishing, you know, two or three in the world, depending where she ends up, it will be a disappointing season. And you know, one thing that I think that Halep fans and those we should, you know, will remember for next year as well is, first of all, she's still, you know, a very young player overall, but I do think that even though this is, I think, is definitely a step back, the landscape of the tour, it's so unlike, you know, if you want to compare Halep to maybe a comparable player who hasn't broken through on the men's tour at all, and, you know, it's still hard to see beyond a Serena Williams or a couple other players who could, you know, who is definitely going to keep Halep down. I think that as sort of a disappointment as this year was, I don't think it's going to be right to kind of write off her chances really for anything, you know, down the road, but, you know, undeniably, I think we're left wanting a little more, and I think 2016, you know, will be a pretty sort of a pivotal year in some ways for her. See what she has learned from this, because in her pressers, she does reveal a lot, I think, about her state physically, mentally. She definitely lets you know what she's feeling, and you know, for a while, it's been the same kind of answer, and she'll have to answer to that.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting contrast right now with Muguruza. I sort of started to think for the first time, is Halep a little more like Wozniacki, Yankovic, Radwanska, sort of smaller player, has a high ranking, maybe gets to a slam final or two, but can't win one because she just doesn't have that, you know, that power. that's necessary. She, you know, I hadn't really thought about her in that context before because she's always really been on the rise the last few years. But will she end up being like that? Whereas Muguruza, a bigger player, power player, more in the mold of Serena, Sharapova, Kvitova, is she going to be the Grand Slam winner? You know, you start to, you know, she's up to number three now. So, you know, that's something to look for next year and something that's changed really in the last couple months.
Yeah, it's been such a great fall season for Muguruza in Beijing, in Wuhan, and now 3-0 in, you know, through the round robin stage. You know, her and Maria Sharapova both get through 3-0. Pretty much everybody else takes quite a dent in the record. A lot of 1-2 records. That's kind of the nature of how round robin tournaments, especially with only three matches go, you're going to see, you know, a player, a Petra Kvitova, get through at 1-2 just because of how the numbers shake out. But, you know, who has really impressed you more over this week? Is it been Muguruza or has it been Sharapova? Because I don't think we necessarily expected to see anything close to this from Maria.
Yeah, I guess equally. I didn't pick either of them to make the semis for different reasons. I thought it might be a little too soon for Muguruza, and I thought Sharapova might be a little rusty. You know, Sharapova has been very impressive. I guess, you know, we shouldn't be surprised. She's looked about, you know, as sort of tough and still hungry to win as she ever has. You know, she's 28 and has had a lot of injuries, but she's, you know, she sounds like she's ready to go for next year already. While everyone else is kind of ending this year, she seems like she's starting up again, which is, you know, something to look for next year. But she's been really impressive. And Muguruza, impressive in a different way. She's playing doubles, and she looked pretty tired and has looked not necessarily that sharp in all three of the matches, but she's won them all. She almost seems to be improving to me in the way she competes with every match. She beat Kvitova, a player who's won two Grand Slams, definitely without her best, sort of found a way to win her 15 breaks in the match, but she ended up winning the match anyway. She probably was going to advance to the semis without winning that match, but she, you know, she came through that. So that, in a way, that's probably been the most impressive thing, is what she's done with you know, the level she's been playing.
Yeah, and I guess we'll end things a little bit with really the one player that we haven't brought up who does still remain in the tournament, and that's Agnieszka Radwanska. And if you watch the highlights of her match against Simona Halep on Thursday, you saw really the full arsenal unveiled. You know, even in some cases, even more than you perhaps remember of what Radwanska could do. She was, you know, in a very precarious spot early on, down 5-1, I believe, in a first set breaker, and really just kind of has the whole variety, unleashes it at that point. Not just really what you know about her from the baseline, which is plenty, you know, what she does well from there, but tracking down a lot, some great running gets, some over, you know, backhand overheads. It was probably the performance of the week, especially when you consider what, you know, Halep pretty much, she had to win that match to have a chance to continue. And Radwanska, who's, you know, who we've mentioned obviously many, many times over the years, but is, I think, has been kind of left in that second tier and forgotten to some degree, you know, still shows obviously why she's, you know, in the top 10 in the world at this event, and, you know, she's here to the weekend.
Yeah, I think she, you know, that was a case of her being completely relaxed in that match. She'd lost her first two matches. She hadn't even practiced the day before. I think she was thinking about the off season. And then she was down 5-1 in the first, you know, she was down through the whole first set against Halep, and then she was down 5-1 in the tiebreaker. It was pretty much a foregone conclusion for Halep. And then Radwanska just kind of loosened up, caught fire, won six straight points, and then was just, you know, at her best from there. We'll see if she can continue that, you know, with a little more pressure on, if she can continue to play that way. It is a good sign overall, and even though she hasn't been, she's sort of, like you said, forgotten this year, she has had a good second half of the year. You know, you kind of forget that she was really in collapse mode through the first half of the year. She dropped out of the first top 10 for the first time in a while, but then she made the semis at Wimbledon and has done better, and maybe this is another sign of her getting, you know, getting back to where she was.
Yep, and she'll get, if it wasn't clear, she'll get Muguruza in that semifinal, Sharapova versus Kvitova in the second semi. We'll be back in touch next week after this has all settled, and also as well tournaments in Basel and Valencia, and leading right into the Paris Masters on the men's side. So there'll be plenty to catch up on next week, but for now, a quick pod to satiate through Friday and into the weekend. Thanks for listening. This is Ed McGrogan with Steve Tigner for Tennis.com.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.